draw near with sincere hearts, to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive the guilt of my sin.
All power.
My soul from death, yes, my feet from falling,
that I may walk before God in the light of life.
When I am afraid,
I put my trust in you.
In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid.
What can the flesh do to me?
In God, whose word I praise,
in the Lord, whose word I praise,
in God I trust, I shall not be afraid.
What can man do to me?
Oh. O God, because your abiding presence always goes with us, keep us aware of your daily mercies, that we may live secure and content in your eternal love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Holy Trinity is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 20th chapter. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him. Say all my close friends, watching for my fall, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who test the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For you, to you, I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the evildoers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence.
He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler.
You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day.
Nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wages at noonday.
A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you.
You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge.
No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tents.
For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all ways.
On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot.
Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name.
When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The reading from the letters is from the letter of St. Paul to the Church of Rome, the 6th chapter. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are as slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you are, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which now you are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was a man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you.
peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is the psalm that we read responsively earlier in the service, Psalm 91. I'll reread verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. This is our text. I'd like to begin with a very brief family story. It happened a couple of years ago. During the day, there was a 3-year-old boy who didn't have his usual bounce. He was quiet, he was lethargic, and that night he started coughing, a violent barking cough followed by those gasps for breath. Croup. You can imagine what it was like for that child. He knew something was wrong. His eyes filled with panic. You know how it is. How quickly life goes from smooth and carefree to troubled and fearful. But then in an instant, his father was there. His earthly father didn't have all the answers, but what he did have were strong arms, the keys to drive his son to the hospital, and most importantly, a prayer to the Heavenly Father. That father wanted his son to know what he knew, that our Heavenly Father has us in his care. Our Heavenly Father has us in his care. Our Heavenly Father cares for us because of his Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to take you back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Early on, he faced the challenge of learning to trust his Father's care. Jesus faced that challenge. No sooner had he been baptized and heard the Father's declaration, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," than he found himself out in the wilderness. You know what happened there, being tempted by the devil. Immediately baptized and then tempted, and those first two temptations both begin with a big if. If you are the Son of God, command these stones. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. As if the devil was saying, don't wait for the Father. You can't really take him at his word. Take care of yourself first. Make him prove it to you. Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure that he's got you? That he'll provide for you? That he'll be there for you? Those questions may sound familiar because the devil likes to use them with us as well. And you might remember that the devil even threw some scripture at Jesus. Psalm 91, in fact. After all that psalm says of the Father, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So go ahead and throw yourself down, if you are the Son of God. But Jesus didn't fall for it. Jesus knew that the Heavenly Father had him in his care. He knew that the Heavenly Father always had him in his care. And so he won up the devil with Scripture. Can you imagine that? Knowing Scripture even better than your opponent. So well that you can wield it against him. And Jesus said, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And he didn't. Jesus didn't test the Father. He did trust the Father, not just a couple of times there in the wilderness, but all the way through from his baptism to the cross to the grave. Of course, it wasn't easy. You know it's not easy for you. It certainly wasn't easy for him. If everything were sunshine and lollipops, we probably wouldn't even think twice about the Father's care. I mean, a child who is really secure and cared for by the parent isn't really sitting there thinking about how much the father cares for him or her. They're just living life and enjoying it. If we had everything we needed, if we never had any troubles, we'd just take it for granted and we'd go on our merry way. But Jesus didn't have that ability. He couldn't do that. His calling didn't take him away from trouble, but it took him directly toward trouble. Although he was a son, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, he learned obedience through what he suffered. He learned obedience through what he suffered. Do you remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Not once, not twice, but three times he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Do you remember the cross? It was nearly 3 in the afternoon after a long day of agony when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then that cry of dereliction resolved into the prayer of trust as he breathed his last. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus trusted the care of his heavenly Father, so that after he carried the sins of the world, after he suffered the wrath of God, after he entered into death itself, God the Father raised him from the dead. So Jesus, having reconciled us to the Father, having risen from the dead, brings us into his family. You have been baptized into the family of Jesus Christ, for you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. His heavenly Father is now our Father in heaven, and he calls us brothers and sisters, saying, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Which means that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one to whom he trusted himself, is our heavenly Father as well. And as he cared for Jesus, he cares for us too. Our heavenly Father's care helps us endure the troubles of this life. What temptations do you face? I mean, not in the past, not temptations you could face, but what temptations do you really face? What troubles do you have today? What burdens do you carry? Psalm 91 describes so many things that threaten: the snare of the fowler and the deadly pestilence, the terror of the night and the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that stalks in darkness and the destruction that wastes at noonday, the 1,000 that fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, evil, plague, feet striking against stone, lion, adder, young lion, and serpent. And if you just look at the enemies and troubles that Psalm 91 describes, your imagination could run wild with all of that. And then with all of the equivalent troubles in this world today, in our age. Our lives aren't smooth. Our lives aren't carefree. At least not often, and not for long. If your life doesn't have any trouble right now, thank God for that and rejoice in it. But our lives often are troubled and fearful. We have broken relationships and illnesses and financial hardships and the pall that hangs over all of it, death. So we pray, "Deliver us from evil." In that little prayer, in those few words that we hurry so quickly past as part of a bigger prayer, what are we really asking of God the Father? What are we asking him to do? First, we acknowledge the devil as our enemy. Deliver us from evil. We are saying that we have an enemy and that the devil is the evil one. All his works, and all his ways are bent on snaring and destroying us. Deliver us from evil. Second, we're confessing that we cannot deliver ourselves. Prayer itself is always such a confession. To pray is to say, I can't do it on my own. If we're to survive, we need the care of another. Deliver us from evil. Third, we're asking our Heavenly Father to help us endure the troubles that come and to keep us faithful unto death. And when we end the Lord's Prayer with that little word, Amen, it is reminding us that our Father wants us to pray, that he has promised to hear our prayers through his Son, Jesus Christ. So yes, we face dangers. Yes, we face troubles. We acknowledge that in Psalm 91. We confess that when we pray, deliver us from evil. But even more than the dangers we face, Psalm 91 is loaded with beautiful promises. Beautiful promises about the Father's wonderful care, protection, and deliverance. Just listen to some of them. It says, he will deliver you. He will cover you. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear. It will not come near you. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. He will command his angels concerning you. Isn't that a beautiful one? We think of these angels as mighty messengers doing God's will. And what is God's will? To command them to take care of you. And perhaps most beautiful and strengthening of all, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. If you ever need to be reminded that the Father will care for you, just open up to Psalm 91 and look at all of those promises that he has made to you in Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father is there for us as we go through our troubles. He will be our shelter, our refuge, and our fortress. He will protect us in his strong arms. And he loves us more than any earthly father, even the best earthly father. And his care for us will never fail. In giving us his Son, he has even made a way for us through death itself. And finally, our Heavenly Father's care reaches us through other people, including our earthly fathers. If your father is gone, no longer living, but he cared for you in this earthly life, you can thank God for him. So not only does God the Father care for us, but he often cares for us through the other people that he puts in our lives. Just as that boy at the beginning, in the story at the beginning, received the Heavenly Father's care through his earthly father, so we benefit from the help, support, and care not only of our fathers, but of our fathers and our mothers and other authorities. In the Large Catechism, Martin Luther wrote this about the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. He said, God knows very well this perverseness of the world. Therefore, he admonishes and urges by commandments that everyone consider what his parents have done for him. Each child will discover that he has from them a body and life. He has been fed and reared when otherwise he would have perished 100 times in his own filth. Therefore, this is a true and good saying of old and wise people. To God, to parents, and to teachers, we can never offer enough thanks and compensation. The person who thinks about and considers this will give all honor to his parents without force and bear them up on his hands as those through whom God has done him all good. There are, of course, those whose earthly fathers haven't been what God intended them to be. Jesus speaks of this reality when he says, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. Of course, this isn't what God intends for the relationships of fathers with children or of children with fathers. This fallen world and our own sin often cause problems in our relationships. But even then, we're invited to look beyond this broken world. We're invited to look not simply at our earthly fathers, but to the true Father and his faithful care. Earthly fathers aren't the Heavenly Father, but the Heavenly Father is the type and pattern for all fatherhood. So those of you who are fathers, let this be your prayer, that the Heavenly Father would cover your sin, conform you more and more to the pattern of his fatherhood, and through you, bring his care to your own family and to others. Truly, our Heavenly Father has all of us in his care, fathers and children, men and women, old and young. He cares for us because of his Son, Jesus Christ. His care helps us endure the troubles of this life, and his care reaches us, even though imperfectly, through others. As the psalmist has said, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding now guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Merciful God, in Christ you have removed the wages of sin and given the free gift of eternal life. Cultivate that life within us, that we may conform our lives to your holy teaching and daily bear the fruit of repentance. Lord, in your mercy. God of our salvation, your Son warned that your people would face opposition from the world. Give courage to your pastors and all your people, that they would boldly praise you, gladly endure suffering for the name of Jesus, and continue by your grace to the end. Provide our synod with faithful and wise leadership in our election of synod president. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, from whom all fatherhood is named, we give you thanks for earthly fathers. Give them confidence in their station and zeal for their task to care for their families faithfully. Make them examples to their children of godly life and love of your word. Bless their work of bringing up children in the fear and instruction of the Lord.
and give them the comfort of your absolution over all their shortcomings. Show mercy to all who are fatherless. Grant comfort to all who longed for children and could not have them. Be father to them, and provide young men with godly men to guide them through life. Here we pray the prayers of those who desire marriage and fatherhood. Prepare them for those callings, and in your time answer their prayers. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, grant your care to all expectant mothers and their children as they await their births, especially Jordan, Carrie, Jamie Gale, and Jalen. Bless and defend the work of all pregnancy resource centers, including First Concern, CareNet, and Clearway Clinic, for the good of abortion-vulnerable women, their children, and the fathers. As they provide for earthly needs, help them to point also to the eternal life found in your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Ruler and Lord of all, guide our nation and all the nations of the world by giving us pious and faithful leaders who will provide good government. Fill the world with industrious citizens who will work for the good of their neighbors and bring all who are enemies to live together in peace. Lord, in your mercy. O Father, not one of the sparrows falls to the ground apart from you. Look with favor upon all who are sick, weary, grieving, or lonely, especially Rose, Mike, and Rich as they recover from surgeries and hospitalizations, Paul in his recovery, Pat in her care, Bob and Karen for peace and true faith in their trials, as well as Diane, Amara, Tom, Marilyn, Melinda, Evelyn, Jared, Ralph, and Karen. Let them know how you value your children and graciously care for them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, grant that all who receive Jesus' body and blood today would present themselves as those brought out of death into life, repent of their transgressions, and gratefully receive this holy sacrament for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you deliver our feet from falling and our souls from death. Receive our thanks for the saints who have gone before us, including our brother John. Preserve us in your grace that we may walk before you in the light of life forever. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm today is Psalm 103, a psalm of thanks, starting at the first verse. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who steadfast you good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, but he will keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is of the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as east is from west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
And source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to constantly serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you